Come fly with Global Air Force. Now, here's your host, Dr. James F. Rome.
From the wild, wonderful wilderness of Alaska, Pastor Steve Vergen. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Jim.
Is it cold where you're at?
I think it's around 20, 25 today.
Warm day.
Snow on the ground, ice. There's been quite a bit of wind coming off the ocean. We're right on the very edge of the Chukchi and the Beaufort Sea, so we get that northernmost Arctic weather. We sit so far north that we go for about 2.5 months of the year where the sun does not come above the horizon, and then we also enter a phase where for about 2.5 months it does not go below the horizon. So we have extreme changes in sunlight. So in the winter months, though it gets light during the day, we'll go for a period of time where we won't see the sun until usually about early February.
In the land of the midnight sun, whatever that means.
Well, it actually means that on July 4th at 12 noon, the sun is directly overhead, and then July 4th at 12 midnight, the sun is directly overhead.
Oh, my. Interesting. Let's see. Now, recently, Steve, you were at the VOA. That was the Voice of the Apostles in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, United States. Is that true?
That's true, yeah. I just returned from there.
Wow, you ought to be lit up, burning for God, you know.
It's been a part of the Voice of the Apostles since 2003, my first connection with Randy Clark and Global Awakening and traveling out to do foreign missions trips. That was prior to my time coming to Barrow. What was so unique is I had returned from a trip to Brazil with Randy somewhere around, I think it was 2003, the first trip, but I ended up coming to Barrow initially several years ago to help build a physical building for a church here.
Oh, okay.
And the very first Sunday that I was here in Barrow, the Spirit of the Lord manifested in the same consistency that I had experienced in Brazil.
Mm.
And that was several years ago, and over a process of years, I kept coming up to build this building and become a part of the ministry team that would come in and minister in the church and in the community. We experienced many parallel experiences here in Barrow that we were experiencing in Brazil. And I came to realize that we are at one of the farmost ends of the earth as God speaks in the Word. And I also came to realize that we truly have what the term people use is called an open heaven. There's literally a portal realm here that the angelic move in and out through. And this particular church that I'm pastoring now seems to be, though my heart has been to see it develop as a tabernacle of David, as a place on the earth where God could literally come and dwell, I haven't understood all that that looks like, but the encounters that we're having here are increasingly strong with the angelic. Angelic have always been a part of my walk with the Lord, but I hadn't become really conscious of them until the last several years. So we're experiencing a lot of the miraculous here, but we're also experiencing a lot of the host of heaven, the presence of heaven.
Open heaven.
It's a unique experience.
Open heaven, you said. And what is open heaven?
Well, my first illustration of open heaven was taught to me through Jesus walking with the disciples and saying that, you know, the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And then my experiences over time were, there were times God would open my eyes and I would see the actual veil, the separation between us and heaven. And it was displayed to me as like a membrane, like a kind of a tan-colored membrane, a rubbery latex material. And I would see it, and I would see it stretch. In one particular experience in Brazil, I literally saw the hand of God stretching in towards me through that. And I knew if it broke, I would be instantly gone. And then on other occasion, I saw angels literally, I saw like a membrane in the church, and I saw angels just coming in. I mean, it's kind of like Superman. They just would come in feet first. They would hit the veil, and it would stretch, and then they would just go through it and land on the floor of the church. I mean, I don't know any better way to describe it. But now I'm seeing that it's like the veil is no longer there. They just literally come walking into the church. I don't know how to really explain it other than what I've experienced, what I see. And Monday, the power of God was so strong in the church as I was trying to walk and pray, it knocked me down on the floor. And then in that place, I saw that the front of the church was a row of guardian angels, and angels were walking in behind them, coming in through and walking out through them. And each time that they would walk into the, through this phalanx of angels, the power of God would just shake me on the floor. And I knew that, and I kept hearing the Lord saying, I just hear this word, ready to launch. I just know that God is doing things with the heavenly realm on the earth, and that we're one of the places where he is accessing earth, you know, through the region here.
Wonderful. There, just in passing, when I was, my next to last time that I was in Brazil, they start seeing angels. I didn't see them. And a girl from Anchorage, Alaska starts saying, you see the angels around you, Jim? Do you see the angels? Well, no, I didn't. And then the wind, it started to get windy, like in the church.
Well, they're sent. We know they're sent as ministering spirits. And many years ago, I had pastored, and then Lord removed me out of the pastorate for over 20 years because he had a journey to take me through Psalm 103:7. It says he made his ways known to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. And in 1991, sitting in a hotel room in Jerusalem, I heard that scripture. I saw it like a beam of light, and it came like an arrow and it pierced my spirit, pierced my heart. And the revelation came to me as a pastor. I did not know the ways of God. I only knew his acts. And I made a covenant with him to learn his ways, that I'd been on a journey. And so he took me out of the pastorate for over 20 years, and he put me in the street, in the marketplace, and actually I ended up becoming a contractor, plumbing and heating contractor, and I walked among the people, and God took me, and he completely changed my identity from that which I had built in man to the identity of being a son of God. And in becoming the son of God, and literally knowing that I live in the Father's heart and have the access of the kingdom, he began to help me understand the relationship of heaven to earth, and that we use the term apostolic anointing, because the apostle anointing causes you to really desire to know what's in the heavenly realm. What is God doing in the heavens that he's endeavoring to connect to the earth? What is his plan? What is his purpose? And he began to show me that, and then began to assist me with the angelic. So even when I was working, repairing a boiler or doing a heating system, they would just be there with me. They would play games with me. They would hide my parts. Yeah, it was just this really camaraderie of relationship. And then and I learned, I just started calling them the boys, because I began to recognize their presence. I began to recognize that they actually have personalities and me. And then over that time frame, the Lord began to bring even a greater and greater illustration of the angelic and helping me to walk in a cooperative relationship. And they're so needed, because they do bring forth into the earth the plans and purposes of heaven. I mean, I call it the assemblage of heaven. If you really could understand and see what God has purposed for each congregational setting, there would be a host of heavenly angelic beings there with specific assignments to assist the people. And it accelerates the kingdom of God. It accelerates the things that God is endeavoring to bring into the people's lives. And so it's been a growing realm. We have a constant manifestation of feathers that started many years ago, which is just a sign of the angelic presence. And they enjoy being with us. They really have a variety of things that they love to do.
That's sweet. That's wonderful. Glorious. Oh, my, wonderful. We're hungry to know about angels and that. And, of course, sometimes maybe we get on the wrong track. But I will tell you, it's wonderful what you're telling me, because here you were pulled out of the pastorate, and there you were pretty well ingrained in the way you thought and taught. But once you had to go out in the world, some of that was eradicated. Amen?
Amen. My whole identity had been built through the religious system, the denominational structure that I'd come up in, and I had missed the truth of walking before the Lord as his son in the total and complete freedom. And I was snared by the fear of man, snared by the fear of rejection, snared by performance, snared by approval of coming from others. And that God had to go through a complete process of breaking that down in my life to the point where it did not exist, which was a very, very difficult journey. And then from there, he began to rebuild me. And there was a point in my life when after he had taken me out of the pastorate, that I went through a year of intense depression, I hid it. But the end of that year of depression, when God had brought me completely through it, there was only two things I knew. I'd been a pastorate, a teacher, walked in the prophetic, had operated in tremendous gifts, had seen everything. Yet I came to a place in my life where I only knew two things, and that is that God is my friend and that I'm saved. And you could have asked me any question you wanted out of Scripture, and I would have had to look at you and say, I don't know. I don't know what you're asking me. And God took me from that place. And he began to rebuild my identity as a true son of God. And to live in that today is a place of remarkable freedom. It's a place of, you've heard Todd White speak. I know you've had him interviewed several times. And Todd has been a great inspiration in my spirit and in my heart. It's had many men and women across the earth. But because he understands the identity issue too. But there came a point in my life when I was questioning. Just, I have that relationship with the Father and the Son of just asking any questions I want. And I tell him openly, I just don't agree with some of the things that you've done. I know they're right. I know they're good. But, you know, if I was God for a day, that wouldn't happen.
Interesting.
So we have those kind of conversations. So I was asked very clearly. You know, I was really wanting to know, what were you doing before the formation of the earth? You know, what were you doing in eternity? What were you doing out there? I mean, you hadn't formed the earth yet. There wasn't a human being alive yet. You know, what was going on? I mean, it could have been kind of boring. And he's directed me to Psalm 90, verse 1. And I read it, and it said, he has been our dwelling place for all generations. And when I read that, the Spirit of the Lord caught me up and took me out into eternity with him. Took me out way before the foundations of the earth. I mean, I don't even know how far out. And I was standing in his heart, and he said, you've always been with me. And I knew that I'd always been with him. That he'd always known me, and that I was complete in him before, and that when he made the earth, he made it with the intent that I would be birthed into a specific generation at a specific time, and then I would be on this journey to come to know him as he knew me, and I would simply be on a journey to become who I've always been in his heart. I've always been the Son of God. I've always been pure before him and holy before him and complete before him. And he purposed to take me out of his heart and birth me into the earth and birth me into a generation that I would walk in and I would come into that person that I've always been. And that's where I live today. And yes, there's abject moments of failure. There's pain. There's sorrow. There's grieving. There's all those things that you contend with, but it doesn't change who your identity is in him. And so I have that incredible freedom of living in a world of great pain and great sorrow, a great heartache, great destruction, and I'm learning to live as Hannah's prayer said. I mean, she was an amazing woman, the mother of Samuel, but on the birth of Samuel and when she gave Samuel to God, she stood in a place and said, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. I will rejoice in the God who has written my name in heaven. And that's an amazing place to live. It's just a crazy, amazing place to live in. I know a lot of people don't understand that, and they just don't understand how you can be joyful in the midst of destruction. But my dad has never had a bad day, and I just live in his heart.
That's wonderful. What a story for those that are listening.
We have a mandate. We have a mandate from the Father. It's a mandate. It's a command. It comes through the Scriptures. It comes through relationship with Jesus Christ. It comes through relationship with the Holy Spirit. It comes through the new life and new creature that we're in. And that mandate from God is this. You must live every day as if you have never sinned. That is a mandate from the Father. That is the only way that he can walk in intimacy and he can walk in fellowship and he can walk in the fullness of who he has made us to be and purpose us to be in relationship to him, because any other thought separates us. He's there in that purity and that holiness. We're born of his seed, and the fruit is in that seed, and the purity and the imperishableness of the incorruptible nature, the full nature of God is released as the fruit in our spirit, and our nature becomes his nature. And we are one with him, and we walk in oneness with him, and we walk as if we have never sinned. And in that place, I'll give you a short testimony. It's very real. November last year, Thanksgiving, coming up on my anniversary, but November Thanksgiving evening, I was in Southeast Alaska where I have a home in Haines before I came up here to take this permanency and senior leadership of Cornerstone Church, and I had a massive heart attack. One major artery, major clot hit it and closed it, and I didn't know that another artery was closed, and so two major arteries to my heart shut down, and I didn't know that I was dying. And the EMTs came, and the medics came, and they came, and they worked with me and ministered to me as they could and got me to the clinic. And I was in a southeast location with bad weather in November, and they had to send a Coast Guard helicopter in from Juneau. But weather delays and things were holding it up, and so I was hours in the clinic. And it felt like somebody put a hydraulic jack in my chest and was trying to break it open. The pain and the pressure was so intense. And they knew by my life signs that I was dying, but I didn't. And they were doing everything they could to stabilize me and remove that because the pain was increasing intensely. And they knew if it hit a certain point, I'd be gone. And as I was laying there at 60 years of age, I was just thinking, you know, I have no fear of death. I've been on the other side many times. And I already knew where I was in the sense of my relationship with my father. But I was laying there because we've been preparing to come to Barrow and take this position in the church. I was thinking, you know, Lord, I'm thinking back, you know, I'm 60 years old. I didn't think my life was going to end here. But, you know, because I was just thinking there was more things to do. And that instant that I thought there were more things to do, I was gone. I was looking in to the heavenly realm. I was looking in to that realm that people talk about that comes to the tunnel of light. And as I was looking in, God began to show me the 60 years of my life and the 40 years of my marriage. And I was just in that place. We're in a place of honesty with the Father's heart. And in that place, it was so amazing because it's extremely peaceful, but it's extremely honest. And I was thinking, you know, just a few days ago, I had been upset with my wife. I'd gotten mad at her, and I cherish her. I mean, we have one of those incredible marriages on the face of the earth, and I can proclaim that before the throne of God. I was thinking, you know, God, I was upset with her, and I had to go to her, and I had to apologize to her and tell her, you don't deserve this from me. You don't deserve me ever being upset with you, and I just need your forgiveness. But I was looking at my 6 years of life, and I was looking for those imperfections. I was thinking back over places in my life where I had failed to walk by the Spirit of God, where I had failed to walk in obedience to the Father, where I had indulged in things that were not purpose for me, and I couldn't find any of them. When I had gone through all of that, and I was looking in, and I was thinking, and the Holy Spirit I knew was with me, and I was thinking, you know, I'm here in the heavenly realm, and I just thought there were things yet to do. I found myself instantly looking down the tunnel, and Jesus spoke to me from the other end, and he said, Steve, it's not time. There are things yet to do, and I was instantly back in my body. I had no pain. And I went into a time, there was a week there that God did remarkable, just dramatic things. They had to medevac me into Anchorage. I was unconscious when I arrived, and they had to get me into emergency and do the heart stuff that they did. But the Lord said to me, he said, there's something I'm confirming here with you, and it's what you've been teaching is absolutely true. You must continue to tell them, my kids have the right to live every day as if they have never sinned. And it's a mandate from God, from the heart of God. It's freedom.
Most remarkable. What a message. You had a message on Facebook today that I thought, I'll call it liberating. It was just so wonderful and so clean. And you started out by saying, little old me. And you were telling a story about some Eskimo. And you were saying you have 4,000 Eskimos. You live with them. You're in that community. You're immersed in their culture, and you're learning to live like they do. And could you tell me that story again that you talked about, the one man that operates in the spirit while he's drunk? Let's hear about that.
Well, we have, of course, a high rate of alcoholism in the state of Alaska among the native people, and other problems that go right along with it, you know, much suicide, much premature death. All of those things that the demonic realm is able to unleash against people. One of the things that we do is because we know truth, is we know the destiny of every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth, and we teach it. They are destined and purposed as a son or daughter of the living God. They're destined as a prince. they're destined to be royalty in the kingdom of God, and they are the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so we speak those things which are true into their spirit, regardless of what the external realm is showing us, because the Word of God is alive, it's active, it's powerful, it's the Lord Jesus Christ wanting to manifest himself. And so in this particular man's life, whom I've known for the last few years, alcohol has been just a normal part of his culture. But he, at the same time, he has come into the kingdom. He loves the Lord. He's highly gifted. And yet, if you're just listening to him because he's very uneducated and he is, you know, he's nobody. He's insignificant to this earth. He is just one man with family members. He has no education. He has literally nothing. If you were to sit down with him and get to know him as a person, you would see that true value in the, from the eyes of God. But to the world, he does not represent success. He does not represent someone you would go to for any purpose at all. And yet, he will be sitting at home. The Lord will say to him, go to the airport, and they'll tell him which airplane or what flight to meet. And he will just go, and he will stand there, and people will come off the flights from the villages. And in one case, the people came off the flights from the villages, and he stood there, and the Lord said, see that lady? She's in great pain. Go minister to her. And he would go to, he will go, and he will just minister, and God will completely heal them, completely deliver them, and then he'll just go home and read again. And it's just this relationship that these people have, knowing that God is a father. And so one day, one of the other men that's a part of our church congregation, who has also had some areas with the alcohol and drugs, was teaching him he is the righteousness of Christ. And he caught that. He believed that. And he began to see himself as the righteousness of Jesus Christ, but it really didn't change his nature in the respect of not doing what he had always done. He continued to live and continues to live in fellowship with us, but still in the world. And in that case, the other night, he was with friends, which would be probably Saturday night, and they were drinking, the normal cultural thing that was happening. And the subject of the kingdom of God, of the Lord, came up, and one of the men who was drinking was just, they talk about all these things that the Lord has done, and he needed healing. And this man just ministered healing to him, and he was instantly delivered and instantly healed. And I've seen this happen countless times.
That's God. That's God. That's real.
Yeah. And so it affects what we have come to believe in the religious mindset of who is righteous before the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Here he was, a man in a drunken state, but he's ministering healing to another man that he was drinking with. I mean, that's God. It's a wonderful story.
Yeah, and it's more common than not among those who are part of the church fellowships who understand this. Because healing is a part of everything we do in our church fellowship here. We believe in healing for the whole person. So every time we're in congregational setting, we're expecting to minister to the needs of the people.
That's wonderful. Steve, I would like you to end our program by praying for those people that are listening.
Father, I just thank you. I thank you, Papa, that you're such an awesome dad. You're such an awesome father. You're such an awesome God. You're just amazing. And your love is just... Father, I pray for these people right now that a revelation would come to them that you cannot not love. I pray that they would recognize right now that when it says God is love, it's because it's who you are. It's an inescapable part of who you are, that you don't choose to love. You are love, and love never fails. Father, I'm asking that you immerse every one of your children in that love that literally delivers, it literally heals, it literally destroys every lie, it destroys every deception. Father God, that liquid love, that balm of Gilead that breaks every yoke, destroys every burden, destroys the seed, the root, and the fruit of every lie. God, it causes it to be completely uprooted, cast into the sea. God, planted in the sea where it cannot return. And Father, that you would just literally pour your love into the life of your children. I pray, Father, that you could bring a revelation knowledge to your children that everything you wrote in the book for them before the foundations of the earth, everything you wrote, every day that you purposed for them, that you wrote a day, you wrote a page. And Father God, I just release that seal of your Spirit, that seal of your word, that word of truth, that presence, Father God, over their life now to bring forth a capacity within them to hold this, to keep it, and for it to become completely manifest as purpose through your word and truth. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. That was wonderful, Steve. Today, we had Pastor Steve Vergen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Come fly with Global Air Force.